week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Former world boxing champion Floyd Mayweather will pay for George Floyd's funeral next week in Houston, Texas. Floyd, an African-American man, died in police custody on May 25th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A white Minneapolis police officer pressed his knee into his neck while Floyd was handcuffed and saying he couldn't breathe. His death has sparked protests all across the United States, as well as all over the world. Reports say Floyd Mayweather has been in touch with George Floyd's family and will handle the costs for the funeral on June 9th. Floyd Mayweather is stepping up for George Floyd, and so too are many other athletes who have spoken out to protest his death. During Monday's show, Prince Nesta reported how American tennis star Serena Williams and basketball greats Michael Jordan and LeBron James are just a few who have taken to social media and other forums to voice their outrage and despair. Turning to African football, Nigeria's manager is insisting that players in the country's domestic league cannot make his men's national team. German tactician Gernot Rohr says he prefers using foreign-based professional players because they are better. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigerian football analyst Emeka Nwani.
I think Gennaro is the coach, and maybe he has seen what others have not seen on his insistence that he will not invite local players to make his national team. Well, we cannot quarrel with him, we cannot fight with him, but I think he knows what he's saying or doing, because you know, most times when you give your coaches players and they fail, they lay the blame on you. So maybe he has seen what others have not seen, and let's see how you take it up from there. He has always said that his best players are abroad, they are not in Nigeria, and we hope to see how he will achieve that, but let's give him the chance, you know, to make sure that he gets the right combination of players.
Do you think the Nigerian Professional Football League has good players to play for the Super Eagles?
I sincerely think we have some good players that can make the national team. The most important thing is to give them the encouragement, the support for them. They are human beings too. Yes, they may not be up to that standard for, you know, standard of the players that are brought, but I know that if you give them the chance and you encourage them and the country and the FA encourages them, they will do well. There are very good players that I know of. Ibrahim Olawoyo of Rangers, I know of Tony Shimaga of Rangers, I know of Teofilos Afeloka of Enyimba, you know, that can make the national team if given the chance and if well encouraged. So we have some good players in Nigeria that can make the team and that can do well if they are given the chance and they are encouraged.
What should be done to improve the Nigerian Football Professional League and make it attractive?
Yes, there are a lot of things that we can do to improve our league. One of them is to take care of the little things. Good refereeing, good stadia, the welfare of players, and then, of course, most importantly, the league must be on TV. If the league is not on TV, then what are Nigerians looking forward to? We must also have the radio to give the support, and of course, journalists must be able also to make sure that they report the league and report it very well. So there are a lot of things to be done, but it must be taken one step. It must be one step at a time. TV, the journalists, the welfare of players, the welfare of coaches, the clubs must be professional in everything they do. These are some of the things that will make the league improve and be attractive to Nigerians and to everybody abroad.
That's Nigerian football analyst Emeka Nwani. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
My name is Emeka Nwani. I am a sports journalist, a football writer, a member of the Sports Writers Association of Nigeria. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks and God bless you.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Douglas Mpuga joins us now with a package of African sports news. Douglas says four champion African athletes are getting ready for a special virtual race.
Athletics goes virtual. Athletics superstars, marathon icons, Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisha Bekele, plus Uganda's world 10,000 meters champion, Joshua Cheptegei.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda. A world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K.
A New York Marathon champion, Geoffrey Kamurol, will take part in a worldwide freedom marathon. All four runners are managed by Global Sports Communications. The marathon will take place between June 6th and 7th and is open to all athletics fans worldwide. The Relay Marathon is an initiative of the NN Running Team and it's a virtual team relay marathon race where people around the world can form a team of four to cover the marathon distance. Each individual covers 10.5 kilometers, so the team completes a full marathon together alone. This allows participants to safely run solo in their own location while running in a team via virtual standings. Meanwhile, the Boston Marathon has been canceled for the first time in its 124 years history because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The race had initially been postponed from April 20th to September 14th. However, Boston Mayor Matty Walsh said the race could not be held this year because of public health fears. The event is the longest running major annual marathon in the world, having been held every year since 1897. Kenya's Lawrence Chirono and Wakanesha Degefa of Ethiopia won the men and women's races in 2019. Still in athletics, two-time Olympic 800 meters champion David Rudisha has been ruled out of training for up to 4 months after an ankle surgery in Eldoret. Rudisha, who intends to compete at his third Olympic Games next year, twisted his left ankle at his rural home in Kilgoris, Narok County in Kenya on May 19th. He's likely to be out for 12 to 16 weeks, although with coronavirus, this might not have much of an impact on serious competitions. The 31-year-old Kenyan, who is the 800 meters world record holder, has not competed since May 2017 because of recurrent back and knee injuries.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In African football, the Tunisian Football Federation, FTF, has announced a roadmap for return to competitions in August. The Tunisia Football League has been suspended since mid-March 2020 due to COVID-19. The FTF proposed plan has now received the green light from the Tunisian authorities. The schedule set out by FTF will see games returning in August 2020 and the new 2020-2021 season kickoff
is late October 2020. And on a sad note, Uganda's legend Jimmy Kirunda passed away on Monday, May 25th. According to the Federation of Ugandan Football, FUFA, the 70-year-old collapsed while walking in a Kampala suburb and was pronounced dead moments later. Kirunda was captain of the Ugandan national team that reached the final of the 1978 Africa Cup of Nations, losing to host Ghana. He also featured at the African Cup of Nations in 1974 and 1976 in Egypt and Ethiopia, respectively, during the 10-year period he captained the national team. Revered as one of the best players ever to have come out of Uganda, Kirunda featured for local clubs Express, KCCA, and Sports Club Villa, as well as a stint with Abu Dhabi Sports in the United Arab Emirates. He also served as Uganda coach between 1989 and 1996. And African football is also mourning the sudden demise of Cameroonian youngster Joseph Boisse, who tragically passed away on the night of May 21st after suffering a cardiac arrest. The young Cameroonian was part of AS Roma's academy in 2016 after being scouted the previous year. He made his professional debut for Serie B side Vicenza while on loan from Roma in 2017, and prior to his passing, he played for a Romanian club, having signed for them in February. Boisse arrived in Italy at age 16 alongside other child refugees from Cameroon. He was signed up by a refugee team in Italy, Liberi Nantes, where Roma scouted him and took him under the academy wings.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. More news in African athletics. South Africa's two-time Olympic champion, Caster Semenya, has a new coach. Caster won her two Olympic gold medals at the 800-meter distance. She's now trying to qualify for next year's Tokyo Games at the 200-meter distance. South Africa's City Press 24 says Semenya will be coached by Koketso Mogapi. The 28-year-old Mogapi is also a South African athlete, and he has personal bests of 7 meters 71 in the long jump and 10.42 seconds in the 100 meters. Caster Semenya's former coach, Jean Verster, believes the postponement of the Tokyo Olympics to next year could play to Semenya's advantage. He says, and I quote, "I think the fact that the Olympics have been moved back by a year is actually in her favor, because it gives her another year to work on her speed, power, and explosiveness. These are all components she needs to work on more as a sprinter than she would have as an 800 meters runner." Meanwhile, another South African athlete, the sprinter Akani Simbine, is targeting a medal at next year's Olympic Games in Tokyo. The 26-year-old Simbine is the reigning Commonwealth Games champion at 100 meters. The Citizen newspaper in South Africa quotes Simbine saying, "It's about the belief I have in myself and what I can do, because what I believe I can do is literally crazy, but it's something I'm determined to achieve." Simbine continues, "I just need to come to the party and put in the work. I'm making the sacrifices I need to make and putting Tokyo first before everything else, because that journey to Tokyo is that important to me and my life." I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Basketball Africa League's global ambassador has an important message for us about hand washing during the coronavirus pandemic.
Hey everyone, this is Luol Deng, the ambassador of Basketball Africa League. Now, washing your hands has always been important, but never been as more important as now. What I like to do is turn the tap on, get your hand a little bit wet, turn the tap off. Put the soap in your hand while the tap is off. Start washing your hands.
Make sure you get between your fingers, get your wrist, and get the other side of your hand, right? Keep washing your hand. Make sure your hand is as clean as it can be. We want to wash our hand for 20 to 30 seconds, right? Turn your tap back on. So you wash your hands, get in your wrist, and get in your hand. Now, the most important part, when you finish washing your hands, make sure you turn the tap off with your elbow. After you turn the tap off, let your hands dry or use a paper towel. All right? Be safe, everyone.
That's Luol Deng, the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador. And here are a few fun facts about Luol Deng, who celebrated his 35th birthday last month. Deng was born in Wau, in what is now South Sudan. He retired last October after 15 seasons in the National Basketball Association. Luol Deng twice was named an NBA All-Star in 2012 and 2013. In addition, Luol Deng received the NBA Sportsmanship Award in 2007 and the NBA's J. Walter Kennedy Citizenship Award in 2014. Turning to tennis, two of the sport's biggest stars, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, played each other in a special Match for Africa charity event earlier this year in Cape Town, South Africa. VOA's Gwen Uden reports the match proved to be a big windfall for Federer's charitable foundation. And Gwen joins us now. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. For nearly two decades, in tournament after tournament, tennis fans have crossed their fingers in the hope of witnessing a meetup between on-court rivals Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. And when it was announced that last February's Match for Africa would feature the two tennis greats in competition, ticket requests reached upwards of 200,000. Match for Africa 6 was held in Cape Town Stadium, and with 51,000 spectators, the event set a new record for the highest ever attendance at a tennis match. Federer spoke at a news conference ahead of the event and said that feat could only be achieved alongside Rafael Nadal.
For me, it was only but Rafa who could make this event truly special for the people here, because I have the connection to Rafa. If maybe somebody can bring him down to South Africa, it's me. And I asked him, and he said yes right away. And we've been fighting over a date for the last 2 years. So I finally got one out of him.
Federer and Nadal faced each other in the inaugural Match for Africa back in 2010. And ahead of this year's exhibition match, Federer spoke about his admiration for his opponent and his growth as a player.
You know, I remember Rafa when he was younger and he was so shy, and he was looking up to me, and he said, whatever Roger wants, I'm happy with that. And then he grew in a much stronger character, you know, and we had still a good time, but obviously the rivalry grew as we were 1-2 and 2-1 the whole time. And then today, I think with all the time that has passed, we see that we're on the final stretch in some ways, and we see life also very differently. But I think we have an ultimate respect for one another, like I have for anybody who has achieved as much as he has, regardless of all the records that he's about to break of mine or vice versa. I think we're happy for one another. And so for me, I'm very happy and very excited that he's here in Cape Town coming and playing, you know, again in a completely different place and different surroundings that we've ever even been in. So it's going to be wonderful.
Rafa Nadal also spoke about his special relationship with Federer ahead of the match, saying, quote, Roger and I have shared so many magical moments on and off the court. Traveling with him to Cape Town and playing for the benefit of children is something I'm very excited about. It will be my first time in the region with Roger as a tour guide. That will be fun. And Federer might well be a suitable tour guide, although this year's match was the first Match for Africa to actually be played on African soil. It took place in the country Federer's mother is from, which he says makes the event even more special. In each of his five previous Match for Africa events, Federer raised in excess of $1 million. But with Nadal on board, plus a celebrity doubles match featuring Microsoft founder Bill Gates and South African comedian Trevor Noah, Federer anticipated that amount would likely be surpassed.
We hope to raise, at least $1 million. I think it's going to be more than that. Obviously coming from ticket sales, from sponsors, but then also we have a foundation dinner the night before where Bill Gates is also taking part. And, we're getting together and having a nice chat also with Rafa and Bill. We're all going to get together. So you add all these things together, and I think we're going to raise substantial money.
And Federer was right. In fact, the Match for Africa event raised $3.5 million. All proceeds will go to the Roger Federer Foundation in support of children's education in Africa. Federer says he prefers to stay behind the scenes of his organization and let the work speak for itself.
I've been rather shy, to be honest, to make these matches for Africa, because I always felt a little bit uncomfortable shouting about charitable work. I just feel like it's something I do with passion, but it does shine a light on philanthropy, on what I do, and it connects all the dots for me with playing tennis, raising money, and also showing the people what I do, and you can inspire others, others inspire me.
To date, the Roger Federer Foundation has raised over $52 million to fund education, transport, and food for children in Africa. Most recently, the foundation donated $1 million to provide food for young children and families in Africa who have been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. As for the match in Africa, Federer defeated Rafa Nadal this year to continue his six-game winning streak at the event. And with pre-tax earnings of over $106 million, it was just announced that the American business magazine Forbes has named Roger Federer as the world's highest-paid athlete of 2020. It's the first time in Forbes' 30-year history a tennis player has held the number one spot. Federer has surpassed last year's top two leaders, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. The soccer stars now sit at number two and three, followed by footballer Neymar at number four. NBA great LeBron James rounds out the list at number five. And that is all from me for now. More sporty news to come. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, everyone. I am Principal Jichimera Shadil Musa, Uganda Bombers captain. I'm going to be representing Uganda, my country, in the forthcoming Olympics, Japan, Tokyo. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Two retired boxers, Hussein Halil and Hassan Halil, are very familiar with Uganda's Bombers boxing team. While maintaining the coronavirus guidelines, the twin brothers continue to do what they love best, coaching some of Uganda's best boxers. During Wednesday's show, Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala will have a feature on the Halil brothers.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Halil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Thanks for listening. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music From bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito, the African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.